Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, Performance Reviews, Are Not Feedback, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are performance reviews part of feedback systems? How can I deliver effective performance reviews? And what is the relationship between performance reviews and feedback? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Let's talk about matrix organization performance reviews. If y'all heard the example I gave a second ago about worrying about the performance review from the time that mine was due until the time that my manager was given to me, and you thought, that's probably not true. I mean, if you thought you were in the top one or two people, then honestly, like, you're probably fine. It's the matrix. Yeah, and I don't mean that in a cool Keanu move.
But you're totally right.
Well, I would work all year with somebody in this matrix organization who didn't write my performance review. They wrote somebody else's. And so the person who writes my performance review hasn't spoken to me maybe 3-4 times the whole year. They haven't seen my work. They're getting all that work, all that input from
other people,
from some other manager. So I used to work for somebody and they saw me like twice a year. And you know when they mostly saw me was when I was requesting vacation. It's that bad.
That's so nice.
That the functional manager to whom I technically report, who approves my vacation, is not the person with whom I work every day. So I've got somebody approving vacation when they are not part of my project that I'm assigned to, which means that at the time it was my boss, Paul, my team lead, and there they call it a project manager, right? My project manager was the person who was responsible for my weekly work. So why am I going and asking somebody else for approval of time off? That's the first question. Now, that didn't last for very long. That was a long time ago when I was there. But the point still stands.
Yeah.
If you have a system where you are writing the review for someone with whom you do not work on a weekly basis, that system does not provide, A, it's overly burdensome because you don't have enough data. You have to go get all the data.
Oh, yeah. For all the people on your team.
Right.
And they all work for a different project manager.
Yeah. And if you're a new manager, and at the time I wasn't, I was just an individual contributor, right? But if you're a new manager and you don't know that because you don't realize that at the end of the year, and they don't tell you this, by the way, when they promote you to be a manager, they don't say to you, hey, by the way, you're also going to be responsible for these people's performance reviews, not your project team, but your systems engineers or whatever it is. And so you're supposed to pull this all together at the end of the year. By golly, how are you supposed to get the data from February? And you just can't.
No.
So if a manager in a matrix is always spending 40 hours on all of their direct reviews.
Trivial.
That is an absolute abdication of our responsibility to create performance reviews that reflect the work of the person. It is. There's no way. I'm sorry. There's just not. So, okay, rant over. We recur to the fundamental issue. The system of performance reviews versus the behavior that bring it to life, that create a positive, true system. Just because someone doesn't know how to make a pivot table in Excel doesn't mean you eliminate spreadsheets. No. I don't know how to make any pivot tables. If we had to ask people.
Oh my gosh, we'd have to totally eliminate Microsoft Excel because I don't know how either.
So many people who use Excel don't know anything about pivot tables. I don't doubt for a second that Mr. Buckingham's data regarding employee dissatisfaction and tiers around reviews at all. And that doesn't inherently damn the system.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Yeah. It does not follow.
No.
Manager tools managers who follow our guidance regularly tell us that they get thank you notes for their professional handling of even difficult review conversations.
Yeah.
Just because there's data that suggests the system isn't being executed well doesn't mean that the system in its entirety is necessarily flawed.
Exactly. And onto the frequency, we do admit to some confusion about the article's point. The commentary about annual goals being forgotten is certainly true. I mean, that's not false, but that implies that performance reviews are designed to address only annual goals, which they're not. But where it's the case, many millions of reviews would have been disallowed over the past decades for not conforming to standards. You can definitely agree that annual goals aren't useful.
I think you could argue it. I don't know that I would agree.
And you'd be making the argument that the system is wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Annual goals, that entire system, that process internally within organizations, as opposed to the fact that you've got an annual review system that's poorly administered.
Yeah, it's not
hard. We could
hard.
All agree with that.
Right? And here's the thing. My concern with this whole, look, y'all, if you have a problem where your company sets annual goals and then everybody ignores them until October, and I've been there, I fully have, I promise you. Here's what you do. Once a month or once a quarter, last one-on-one of the month or last one-on-one of the quarter, if you're using Manager Tools one-on-ones, yeah, you use the last few minutes to talk about their annual goals and you bring them up on a frequent basis. The problem with this is that Mr. Buckingham says they don't want measurement, they want attention. And he is creating a system where I can't ask them about their annual goals throughout the course of the year because he's telling me no. So how am I supposed to solve the problem?
Right. The goals aren't the problem. Just like the performance reviews aren't the problem. The people not following up on the goals,
right,
that's the problem. The people are the problem. And organizations have been behaving for years by not following up on your annual goals. And to go a step further, annual goals are not the sole or even dominant criteria for annual reviews. Performance tasks are the criteria.
Right. So do both. Have check-ins where you check in on performance tasks. And then also, occasionally in the check-ins, ask about annual goals. This isn't hard.
Right. This isn't hard.
No. To some extent, and I'll admit this, I got lucky, right? Because when I first started, I knew about manager tools.
Yeah.
So I knew to do one-on-ones. And I already knew that there was a problem where people ignored performance reviews at my organization until October. And I decided that was awful and we weren't going to do it. So, you know, there's a little bit of, I stood on the shoulders of giants, of Mark and Mike, which is super fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the article says that the review is corrupted by the fact that neither the manager nor the direct can remember any of the direct's performance beyond recent memory. And I find this absolutely laughable because our system fixes it. While the majority of managers certainly behave this way, yes, absolutely, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
again,
totally.
Doesn't damn the system. It just means, this existential argument cannot be won if a reasonable case can be made, as I would argue that
we can,
for an administrative failure.
Yeah.
Okay? To say nothing of hundreds of thousands of managers who know how to take notes and keep track and prepare a professional review.
Yeah.
And because there's a cast for that.
Right.
Y'all, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, my goodness, I'm a little excited that the system is so flawed because it means I can behave in the system and be an absolute rock star with very little effort. You'd be right.
Yeah, you'd be right. You're not wrong.
You would be right. And some of y'all are listening and you're thinking, that's what happened to me, right? I've been in the system. I didn't know how to win the system. And then I discovered quickly, the system is not that hard to beat.
Yeah.
It's not. You have your one-on-ones every week. You take your notes in your MT one-on-ones every week. And then lo and behold, at the end of the year, you can look at your notes. And y'all, the only time I use a highlighter at work, except sometimes I draw stuff like with, you know, when we're demonstrating things, like I'll use a chisel tip highlighter.
Oh, yeah.
The only other time I use a highlighter is when my directs say something in their one-on-ones or we cover a topic in their one-on-ones that I want to put in their performance reviews. Then you just highlight
it.
And then you know what?
You could flip through the pages.
Oh, man, you just flip through. And I think we've talked before, Sarah, about how I used to do it where I had like the notes on one side and then on the other side I had the blank back of last week's notes. And what I used to do is I would just put a star on the blank.
Yeah, I put an arrow.
Mm-hmm. And then ta-da!
Yep.
If you're thinking, y'all, that the system is flawed, and since it is flawed, you can behave in a way that will set you above and beyond the others, you are right.
That is absolutely accurate. We've said for years, the one-eyed man in the land of the blind.
And the system is blind.
It absolutely is. You are the one-eyed people.
And so, okay, so we said it already, but the only case made in the article about dehumanization, so—
Oh, yeah, dehumanization.
Is the continuation of Gina's story. And Gina, we're sorry that you are living in this world because
I hope they changed her name.
And if we didn't, and she's probably not listening, but if she is, we're sorry. It's so hard because we don't want managers or directs to have to exist in a system that isn't helpful and that would ever be dehumanizing.
Makes you feel that way. Absolutely.
However, thanks to the general underperformance of managers, and poor promotion standards and poor training.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, virtually no training for people on the way to prepare for performance reviews. Yeah. It's no surprise that managers aren't doing a good job. You're probably here or wherever you are listening to us.
Yeah.
Because nobody told you how.
No.
And yet again, the existential argument cannot stand without first disproving the administrative failure, which is managers aren't trained, they're not well prepared, they're not given the tools they need to do well, which mm-hmm. is why we're here, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
So later, right, there's that comment.
Exactly. The comment being that the point about dehumanization was actually due to or caused by the forced ranking, right? She can't be a two, so try and feel like a two, or whatever the comment was.
Ugh.
But yeah. Now, I can understand the argument, but guys, forced ranking isn't inherently a bad system. It's got terrible press.
Sure.
That's absolutely accurate. There's Jack Welch's snide, catch, ill-deserved and wrong-headed nickname of Neutron Jack that comes to mind.
Sure.
That is an example. And the press, the bad press about those forced ranking systems is really all most people know. But in an organization with limited resources, folks, every organization you're in, because all of them have limited resources, is a limited organization resource, limited rankings and tiring performance are completely normal. And again, here we come up against the difference between a bad system and poor administration of a system.
Mm-hmm.
No question. No question whatsoever in Manager Tool's mind that the issue here is administration, that is, managerial behavior failing to reach a professional level. The answer is training of our systems, of goals, of annual reviews for the managers, not abolishing of all the systems that we've got that help us manage.
Yeah. The claim, right, in the article
mm-hmm.
that performance reviews are irrelevant is ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's insane. It starts, honestly, it says, each worker is unique in what they love and loathe about their work. Okay, that's true.
Okay, that's true.
And we don't,
doesn't
I was
going
to say we don't care. It's beside, what we mean is it's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of performance reviews is not to serve an individual's loves and loathes.
It's not.
To be frank with you, I would suggest that a lot of people's jobs don't serve their loves and loathes. Also, I can't, ugh, the language here just makes me just dripping with disdain for this language. Performance reviews are not meant to serve your loves and loathes.
No, they're not meant to serve you at all.
Right. Exactly. They're meant to serve the organization's needs for succession planning. Mm-hmm. Y'all, not everything that happens to you at work is about serving
about
you.
This ain't about you.
Right. The organization mm-hmm. has to support all kinds of stuff that has nothing
yeah.
to do with like your individual experience in it.
Yeah. If you don't know where performance reviews come from,
yeah.
performance reviews, the original performance reviews, were created right after the Civil War, invented by the Army. Now, before I go on, note what that means is original performance reviews were created because what if someone got killed in battle and needed to be replaced?
Yeah, the stakes are kind of high there, dude.
The stakes are kind of high. I mean, the purpose of them was succession planning. They were always meant for the organization. The purpose of them was never the individuals themselves.
They weren't even shown to the people.
Exactly. Because this ain't about you, bud. This is about the organization.
Right.
The fact that we show them to the rated individual today means that we must rate them reasonably fairly, which is such a good check on the system, right? It creates a situation where managers are not doing unethical behaviors, ranking people below what is deserved. Great. We show them to the people.
Okay, but good. But
the solution to our problem is to train managers on how to ethically and professionally deliver a company's review system and hold them to the high standards required of doing so successfully. They're exceptionally relevant, but simply poorly delivered by completely untrained managers who are delivering a performance review system to which they obviously do not know the purpose. They're to help the organization. They're not to help the people.
Ugh, yeah.
And many managers, I believe, think that they are about the people, not about the organization, which no wonder they're being delivered poorly.
Well, right. The topic is the people, but that's not the purpose. Topic and purpose are two different things. And if all the training you've ever gotten about it is, hey, you need to fill this out, that's not training.
Yeah. That's not training.
It's not training. So if you learned how it works from the other side by being an individual contributor and then becoming a manager, that's also not training.
Mm-hmm. Not training.
Okay. So weekly check-ins versus one-on-ones.
Yes.
I respect Mr. Buckingham.
Exactly.
So we both do.
A great deal. We both do. I mean,
we've said that before.
Multiple times. Exactly. But the guidance about weekly check-ins is
bad.
If you felt like he was pretty off track so far, it's getting worse.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest.
He started on a course that is not even parallel to
exactly.
our railroad tracks. And he's past El Paso at this point.
Totally. Now, his recommendation essentially was that the review itself be abolished and replaced or split into two parts, that is, having a performance review, just compensation conversation, and then performance development. Mm. So he hasn't actually, which I think is funny, eliminated the performance reviews. He's just turned them into something different, a compensation discussion.
Which is cute because
it's
just a bird by any other.
A review, but
yeah, it's
whatever.
Just like, oh, I changed this. I changed the name of this.
Exactly.
Okay.
It does
Maybe he's
feel
trying
a bit
to trick
like,
us.
Yeah, exactly. It feels a bit like he's hoping that we don't see what he's done.
Which is
eliminate the performance review by having a performance review and something else.
In fact, so we're, in my opinion, we're compounding the problem because what the problem, where the problem really lies is managers aren't trained well and they're not executing performance reviews well. And some of it's not your fault. However, instead of eliminating the system, he has added to it.
Yes.
So we're actually
just added another meeting.
Make it worse.
Just like made things different.
Okay. So even if you don't like his general idea, we don't, obviously. It doesn't work on multiple levels. Also partially because he's added a level. So there's that. Okay. So let's take his recommendation to strip down annual reviews to a compensation discussion.
Yes.
Does he really believe that for all the people who are so unhappy with their reviews, and he cited some impressive statistics that I'm not going to argue with, that all those people who are so unhappy with their reviews are going to go quietly without any chance to push back on their raise with their performance?
This is the part I love. Exactly.
It's a recipe for disaster. Massive. And worse retention problems than he is kind of obliquely referring to. His idea won't work.
No. Guys, what he's suggesting is that employees don't understand, employees aren't smart enough to realize, that their work performance and pay are related.
Except that they
but
do
of course
know
they are.
That.
Exactly. If you tell them, if you have this performance review meeting with which is only compensation, let's say you do that, they're going to counter with their performance. And if the managers go into that compensation discussion and are only prepared to discuss pay scales, pay bands, and raise percentages, because this is a compensation discussion, not a performance discussion, they're going to look like idiots. Because the direct is going to see the compensation and they're going to counter, rightfully so, because why wouldn't they, with their performance and how the performance is not in line with the compensation, and now the manager's fully not in any way prepared to have a performance conversation when the direct is countering with performance because all they're prepared to do is talk about money.
And what is the manager going to do? Oh, no, we can't talk about that. I mean, you just... and
that's irrelevant.
Not only... Kate,
that has nothing to do with how much we pay you.
Wah-ha-ha. Here's the thing. Okay, managers, most people
I
know...
It's fully relevant.
Not only that, but here's... Most people, when you try to engage them in a conversation, I would suggest that there's so many people out there who, if you say, well, what about my performance? They'll start to talk about performance. They are... Yeah. I would suggest the majority of people I speak with are incapable of thwarting that conversation fully.
Yes.
So it's not even...
Absolutely.
It's just not going to work.
It's not going to work. It's going to turn into a compensation and performance conversation that managers themselves are not ready for.
Well, right, because we don't want them to get ready because we only want to talk about compensation. So then, okay, so there's that. But there's also the performance development idea where he suggests that performance development can be achieved by a weekly 15-minute check-in where the manager asks what the direct loved and loathed and with what they need help.
Mm-hmm.
We can barely manage a worse way to address performance development.
Right.
Barely.
That's not about performance.
Well, right. Okay, there's that. So let's even set aside the ludicrousy of this idea because it isn't about performance. And First, most managers have little ability to remove the parts of their direct's job that they loathe. What are you going to do about that? Right? Seriously.
You're going to listen to them complain?
Yeah.
Week after week.
No more spreadsheets for you. Being asked every week what you loathe and saying the same thing over and over again, and your manager doing nothing about it, is not a recipe for any kind of development that we know of. I mean, the idea that we would ask them what they loathe suggests...
And do nothing?
It suggests that we have some control.
Right. And we don't.
And okay, here's the next part. This is a recipe for destroying trust the manager has been trying to build. I mean, you're not going to build any this way, so you're not going to get any more. But any you've earned is going to slough off you in huge sheets of despair.
Yeah.
Y'all.
This reminds me a lot, Kate, of when managers argue that they want to ask their directs why they've done something in feedback.
Oh.
Right. It reminds them of all of the great reasons, which they have, folks. They always have them. All of the really good, perfectly acceptable reasons for doing something that resulted in things going wildly wrong, making the direct feel even more as though they've done the right thing because all of the reasons were good, but not changing the fact that something was done wildly wrong.
Oh my gosh. Yesterday.
It's the exact same thing.
We were talking about this and somebody said, Kate, well, shouldn't you ask them why? I said, okay, go ahead. Like, ask them. Ask me, right? And like, there's 100 people in the room.
Let's do this.
There's actually 100 people in the room. We had a big event yesterday. And he said, why'd you miss the meeting? And I said, I was in the break room eating a sandwich. And he just stared at me. Because what are you supposed to do with that? No more sandwiches for you?
No more sandwiches. You never get lunch again.
I mean, it might as well have been a spam sandwich at that point. Listen, y'all, this check-in suffers from another fatal flaw.
Yeah.
The agenda is static and set by the manager.
Right?
Which your people hate. They hate it. You set all the other agendas. What agenda they get to set? And by the way, why would we do this every single week? And very quickly, you'll get to a point where it's like, I don't even need 15 minutes because
it's not gonna same thing every week.
Seriously. Like the thing I hate about anything really, A, rarely changes, and B, doesn't go away.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've done some testing, right? After we've tested different modes, methods of one-on-ones, we've found no system that improves trust, which is the gold standard of managerial effects on performance, that didn't include the direct being able to bring their own ideas and issues to the table and to do so before the manager's agenda is addressed.
Exactly.
The direct would like to speak with you about some things, and they will defer to you if you go first.
Yeah.
So no, they get to go first. That's how we build trust. As opposed to tell me what you loathe and let me just hear the same sentence over. That sounds actually terrible. Not only is it not effective, but it just sounds stinking awful.
Right. And some people out there, Kate, I feel like might be thinking, oh, but I would love the opportunity to talk about my loves and my loathes with my manager every week. And you might.
Well, also
there
you
are
can.
A whole bunch, and you also can, exactly. There are a whole bunch of people listening to this cast right now. They're like, oh my goodness, I do not want to talk about my loves and my loathes every week. Please don't make me talk about that. That is not what I want to discuss. So some of you might want to talk about that. Do it. Do it in your
Go
manager
for it.
Tools one-on-ones with your managers. You can make that your own set agenda for your first 10 minutes. But there's a whole whack of us that do not want to have that conversation. It's not about me. It's about you.
Seriously. I always said loves and loathes so many times. All I can think of is loves and loaves, and now I'm hungry for some bread.
I'm thinking about that movie, that Johnny Depp movie. What is it?
I don't know, but I'm thinking
about Fear and Loathing.
Oh, yeah. Fear and Loathing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's more than a Johnny Depp movie. All I can think of is Dana's sourdough, if you're listening.
Oh.
Dana. Yeah, okay.
Dana, this one's for you. Okay, so folks,
finally.
There is a fatal flaw in the entire piece, and it's the absence of regular and frequent performance communications. Not only does he say you can't give feedback during the check-in, but he doesn't give you a replacement for ever giving feedback.
And you will not get performance development or useful performance reviews without feedback, y'all.
Mm-mm.
Seriously.
You won't.
But he never does. He never mentions feedback.
He never mentions it.
Other than to mention, I guess he does mention it tangentially. He says
don't give it.
People don't want it.
Yeah, because people don't want it.
Yeah. Y'all, let's not insult them. Of course they do.
No.
They're smart enough to know that they need you to tell them what they're doing right and what they could do better in order to influence their performance review and salary compensation increases, things like that. Let's not insult them by suggesting they're too silly to understand that they should know what they're doing well and what they could do better on.
Right. Or comparing our relationship to parenting, which was also done in said article. Okay. So
sad.
I know, right? It's all so sad. Okay, folks. So the answer to the pain and anguish felt by so many during performance reviews, we know it exists. We know it exists for the managers. We know it exists for the directs. We are not disputing that fact. But the answer is not the evolution of the system itself. It is a necessary system, however misunderstood it might be. Mm-hmm. It is required by your organization. The answer, the how do we fix it, isn't replace it with two other also ineffective conversations. It is to have managers who are fully taught and trained on how to use the processes within, how to add to the current managerial complement they have within their organization additional tools that will assist. That is building trust through manager tools one-on-ones and giving enough positive and negative feedback in a frequent fashion so that folks are getting the messages about performance communication that they require. And one-on-ones and feedback, those two pillars, will support a manager who knows how to prepare and deliver a trustworthy and effective performance review in support of their organization's talent and succession management.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Have a good one.